Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Anyede Akuri, who is the Executive Director of Africa Faith and Justice Network, a community of advocates for responsible U.S. relations with Africa. He's a member of the Order of Preachers in the Dominican province of St. Joseph the Worker in Nigeria and has served in various pastoral capacities in Nigeria, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the United States, and is co-author with Dean Hoge of International Priests in America, Challenges and Opportunities, and African and Caribbean Catholics in the United States. Welcome to Background Briefing, Anyede
Akuri. Thank you very much.
So it seems that things are starting to get to, I don't know whether you could say it's falling apart, but there's been some really extreme violence now in Nigeria. Just a few days ago, 71 people were killed in a bus station on the outskirts of Abuja. And that shocked everybody in Nigeria. And the Nigerian president, Goodluck Jonathan, visited the bombing site where bodies were scattered everywhere. But now, following that now, we've had this kidnapping of, some reports say, of up to 200 schoolgirls have been abducted, probably, I think, by the extremist group Boko Haram. Is that your understanding?
Yes. There have been information coming out of Nigeria reporting earlier that there were over 200. And just this afternoon, the number has been revised downwards to about 150 because they said some of the girls escaped and ran home. So they have found some of them. But right now, there are still over 100 girls unaccounted for. And the school, unfortunately, is in an area that is close to the forest regions where Boko Haram has been very active in killing people and destabilizing the community. And also, it's understood that their school had been closed, but they were just reopening it for a few days to allow their girls go and take their final exam. And so while they were doing that, this disaster struck and the girls are kidnapped.
Now, would the objective of Boko Haram kidnapping these girls, first of all, Boko Haram itself, I think if you translate it, doesn't it mean against
Western education is forbidden.
Yeah, Western education is forbidden. So that's how they label themselves. So is that why they're attacking these girls, because they're getting a Western education?
Now, getting a Western education, which for them is an abomination. Girls should not be educated. In fact, this is a group that was founded in 2002, and then they carried out initially a program which they described as the propagation of the prophet's teaching, meaning Muhammad, and jihad. And so initially they focused on opposing Western education, and so they saw the education of girls especially as forbidden by their own brand of religion, because that is not true of Islam itself. And so they started attacking primary schools, attacking schools nearby them, and they're seeing the whole education process as, quote, against their own beliefs. So they have been very particularly against the education of girls. So they have been attacking that, and now they are not only attacking girls' schools, they attack boys' schools too. Previously, they had attacked boys' secondary schools and killed over 50 of the students who were studying in this boarding school. So their primary objective in this case is to ensure that these girls don't get educated, and the boys who get educated, for them, should be educated in Quranic schools. Anything else is contrary to what they're trying to propose. And the same group has also tried to impose Sharia law on the states around where they are carrying on the activities. So it's really a group that is trying to destabilize the country, that is trying to edge out people who don't believe what they believe, Christians and other Muslims alike.
Again, I'm speaking with Anedi Okure, who is the Executive Director of Africa Faith and Justice Network, a community of advocates for responsible U.S. relations with Africa. We initially were talking about Monday's explosion at a commuter bus station in Nigeria's capital, where 71 people were killed and 124 people were injured. And that was followed now by the kidnapping of about 150 schoolgirls who have been abducted. Now, the bombing of the bus station, that's the first time Boko Haram has struck in the nation's capital, at least, what, for 2 years?
Yeah, you know, since the bombing of the UN building. And actually, there had been previous attempts. They were foiled, you know, trying to destabilize even Independence Day celebration. And at one point, they tried to attack the convoy of some of the nation's officials, but those attempts were foiled. So since that, quote, successful bombing of the UN building in Abuja, and of course, the one that they struck at Christmas in 2011, that one was closer to Abuja too. But this is the first time that they have carried out such a massive attack within the nation's capital. And unfortunately for them, I don't know how they're going to win sympathy with this kind of brutal action on innocent civilians. People were lining up in the morning to go to work, some to board the bus and go travel to their homes. And they went in there, just carried out this massive bombing and killing dozens and dozens, as you mentioned so far, 71 people dead. And those in the hospital, some are critically injured. Nobody knows, there might be even more death. So this kind of behavior is making it extremely difficult for people to sympathize with their cause, number one. And secondly, they are not even willing to sit around the table and discuss their grievances, but they go attacking babies, innocent children in school, people going into the church to worship, people standing at the bus station to get into buses and travel. And yet, the people that they should go and discuss with, they don't do it. It seems that it's a calculated attempt to just destabilize the country. It's difficult to explain it otherwise, because if one has grievances, he said, okay, let's sit and talk about it. What do you want? Let's negotiate. But I'm unwilling, absolutely unwilling to do that. And sometimes some of them that are taken into custody, before we know it, they go into the jail, attack the jail guards, kill them, and release their members. So even trying to detain them and discuss and find out what they want becomes even a precarious venture to do so.
So, Anedi Okure, tell me then what can be done. Obviously, you know, we've had this war on terror, and at the time that George W. Bush declared it, a lot of people thought that was something of an absurdity to declare war on a tactic. And it seems like this is being repeated to some extent in Nigeria, where President Goodluck Jonathan has placed the three northeastern states under a state of emergency since May of last year. And apparently the military have been bombing along the border with Cameroon, where the Boko Haram hideouts are supposed to be. Is there a military solution to this? It doesn't sound like anybody has managed to, the Nigerian military has, and after all, a lot of Nigeria's recent leaders came out of the military. So why have they been unable to stop this insurgency?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. In fact, that's at the core of this issue. Why is it that that Nigeria has been able to stop this insurgency. First of all, I think that there was a big delay by the government in terms of addressing Boko Haram from the early stages, because it started as a grievance just locally. And unfortunately, the way initially the local police handled the situation wasn't in the best interest of what you call in terms of human rights violations, you know. So that was there. But then it was allowed a long time for it to regroup, for it to recruit disgruntled young men who are jobless, for it to even have cross-border recruits and interest. So that the government is to blame for that. Secondly, is there a military solution to this? It is really difficult. I'm basically opposed to using the strong arm of the military as a hammer to find peace. I'm opposed to that. And we at AFJN are opposed to that. However, in this case, is that you have people who are fighting and killing innocent people, who are attacking schools, churches, and some mosques, who are killing people at bus stations, who are destabilizing the country, and who have been made several offers to come to the table and have peace talks, and have absolutely refused to do so. So in that case, what do you do? It seems that military engagement is an option, although it's not the best, but it seems that the government is left with no other option except to engage in military fashion. That's the first point. The second point is that it seems also that even with that option, the government is not doing enough in terms of mobilizing the military. They know the region where they are. I know there are some informants within the community that are difficult to find out, but they know the camps are in the forest, they know where they are, and they could easily get a surveillance to find it out. I think the impression that most people get in Nigeria is that the government is not doing enough. And incidentally, former President Olusegun Obasanjo had written a much debated and controversial letter to the current president, accusing him of a lot of things. And one of the things in that letter, rightly or wrongly, is that he accused him of being weak and not responding to the Boko Haram situation in the right manner and containing it. So while one might have disagreement as to the tone of the letter, it is interesting that former president, who is, as they call it in Nigeria, the godfather of this current president, is turning around to accuse him of being weak, of not responding appropriately, of not containing Boko Haram. It makes you wonder what the real issues are in this case. There is also the other accusations that there are elements, political elements, who are sponsors of this Boko Haram, and that it seems that the intelligence community know about it, but because they are big elephants, or what you call it, sacred cows in the political arena, that they are not willing to bring that out in the open.
So you're saying that there are people, powerful and wealthy people, inside the Nigerian government establishment or business community that are supporting these terrorists who are kidnapping schoolgirls and blowing up people at bus stations? I would have thought maybe they were getting outside support from maybe Saudi Arabia or somewhere like that, but that's pretty shocking. Is this widely discussed in Nigeria?
Yeah, it's been discussed. In fact, even at one point early last year, or was it late 2012, President Jonathan said, quote, that there are elements, you know, sponsors of Boko Haram, you know, in high places. So that was a pretty grim statement for a president to make. So that has been said and has been discussed. And as I said, Boko Haram now has external connections, but initially it started in Nigeria. It's a domestic affair, it's a domestic issue, and in fact, we were one of those organizations that opposed to Boko Haram being labeled a foreign terrorist organization, because at that time we said, look, this is a homegrown disgruntled group, deal with it that way. So we were, in fact, we sent a letter to the then Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, dissuading her from labeling Boko Haram a foreign terrorist organization. I know he's been given that status now, but we were opposed to it precisely because at the time it was a strongly homegrown organization with sponsors within. Now there are external connections, but this is a much later development.
Well, Anidi Okorie, I think we have to do a follow-up and follow this story some more, and I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Anidi Okorie, who is the Executive Director of Africa Faith and Justice Network, a community of advocates for responsible U.S. relations with Africa. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time.